for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community and the 5D Collective. Today we chit-chat about the beauty of being a 5D mystic, enlightenment functional adult, woo-woo pseudoscience lady, your podcast host, but also some of you who might end up feeling that you fit a little bit of this and that, and that's because, one, you're 5D consciousness. So being able to be a person who has the emotional awareness of your inner child and yourself, either you are reparented or you have not lost your inner child, the innocence. And that's like with me, you were able to have a secure attachment, child-centric environment. So you were not fear-mongered out of, you know, basic human emotions and being somebody who can freely express any of what comes to your mind without feeling ashamed. So I have no shame button. thanks to my 0-1-year-old being my own. So I'm the grown-up, emotionally speaking. You create resiliency when you're using your mind with these three main pillars, the main pillars of the mind. Thank you, Daniel Siegel. It would be focused attention, focused awareness, and then kind intention. So I'm learning all about this in my consciousness and change, but I've already learned about it, and I'm also taking some courses to finish up those other lovely certificates, meditation, and there's another one, I think it's mindfulness or something about meditation. I forget the titles that the course decided to give, but on the other spectrum, I also have the hypnotherapy one. And you know, what's funny is that as a 5D mystic, I already can easily access any of these tools and put them into practice because I am a restorative embodiment of myself, and that's my mammalian heritage as well as yours. So I learned how to explain to you all why yoga helps, because thank you, Daniel Siegel. Yoga, Stephen Porges, the polyvagal theory doctor. Yoga is a portfolio of ventral vagal nervous system toning exercises. Mindfulness, thank you, Daniel Siegel, is where I uncovered that it supports the three pillars of the mind, which then brings about change in your brain structure because it allows your brain to move towards integration. In fact, it heals the, how am I going to word this? So when you have childhood developmental trauma from abuse or neglect, or you have non-secure attachment due to a household environment that is not going to give you consistent contingent communication. So when you're not actually your inner child, because you were given a household that was not the ideal environment. Okay, so I'm looking to choose my words carefully here, because I know, as Daniel Siegel presents, that it's not somebody who's intentionally trying to emotionally hurt their kid and have their kid be a dysfunctional human being in their nervous system. So dysregulation, while people watch entertaining movies and they continue to, basically to me it looks like Pinocchio's with the ears and the tails, and they kind of act like the friend of Pinocchio who still wants to be on the island, and Pinocchio gets away by chance because he doesn't even realize that he actually wants to get away. So he is completely oblivious to what he did to himself, which I see many people using cliche sentences and stereotypes between gender, men, women, and then, you had a stressful day, so let's go get drunk. I mean, when I see mid-20s, early 30s saying that, I'm like, wow, okay, I did not realize people would grow up to be immature, because as a teenager, I did notice I was part of the groups of doing stupid things, not too excessive, but enough to say, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know better how to live life. Thank goodness my mind was very clear. And, oh, wait, I did get a human being called parent who definitely shared with me what true authority is, which is not somebody who yells in your face and is unsympathetic, gets pissed and basically fears you to shits. No, that's what I see when people don't understand. They don't care to the injury of their child alive. If it were, then they would very much be able to regulate their nervous system easily, because they would notice the difference between being in their fight response, which is sympathetic, versus their higher social engagement system. I mean, right now I'm going to just talk about your embodied brain, because you're a nervous system that's actively engaging in life. As long as you don't know how to regulate to your higher social engagement and get out of the sympathetic, which I need to create that masterclass, even though I see a lot of people wanting to be in their dysfunctional, maladaptive child behavior. They're on Elsa's journey. They, in fact, are the same individuals who will talk to you about a lot of things in their sympathetic, and that's a modulated, embodied person. No, they don't even know yet what it means to have grace within their body, heaven in your body, because they're associating it to belief systems. So when I see 4D mystics, they're consistently thinking of one, light workers, as if there's a special group of people. Their downloads involve them thinking that their body is going to have to be weighed down, and that's because they have no relationship with their inner child yet, and they don't get educated on attachment or trauma. I did, because I support people on personal development, And as those courses began to become available, I was like, I'm all over that one. I want to help people with trauma. And now I know really, really well, and I'm going to keep on learning what trauma means. And that's why it is a word that gets overused. But here's what happens when you're educated and you're trying to help people the right way, not for likes and not for trends. And the right way means, how can I empower you with the information I have? And no, I'm not here to entertain you. In fact, I'm here to be the person for sure for 5D mystics that allows those who are wanting to be in the beautiful plane of mysticism. Because you see, with a securely attached body, with a differentiated 3-year-old, 1-year-old, I've had so many past life regressions. I didn't know the word because I don't use let me go and figure out these labels, because I'm not lost. I'm not on Elsa's journey. I'm a human being. My name's Maria. And I am honored to have learned how to stay human. Thank you, Jesus. Because see, this is the part where I noticed 4D mystics, once they got clairs, because I have a buttload of them, coming to me, and they want to be like a little group, like teenagers. I don't do groups. I'm an individual. You're an individual. And I noticed how teenagers were trying to do groups. And I'm like, why would you try to copy someone else? Aren't you your own? Aren't you proud to be who you are? And I never figured out until I did that people don't want to be their self, because their 0-1-year-old is freaking out inside, and so is their 3-year-old. I don't. I'm not freaking out. In fact, please remember my name, as my biological father confused it for my twin. So the part about I was determined, I'm determined with a secure attachment, child-centric household, thank goodness. I was not fear-mongered. And then I got a twin who I got to share space with and fight safely like a cat and dog, not in a way of being, again, frightened to death, because poor children who get bullied by other children. And again, this is all I said, poor, P-O-O-R. And they grow up and they have a poor embodied self, which is why their ding, ding, ding doesn't work well, because they have low self-esteem, indirect communication, passive aggressive, dysfunctional, maladaptive child behavior responses. And they all think they're cool, while being scared and emotionally unavailable to themselves inside, and doing the peer pressure thing, and then not saying, wait a minute, this is all not really, you know, where we should go. The other ones are just as bad, where I would be considered the one on the perfectionist side, which is, leave me alone, I'm a tattletale, I'm a good goody-two-shoes, you use all the words you want, don't touch me, I will go to the grown-ups, and I will get you in trouble. And to this day, don't touch me, I'll get you in trouble, quote-unquote. My point is, though, there's two spectrums that I saw as teenagers. One, completely oblivious to what they were doing. The other, you know, and so FYI, though, our brain goes through developmental process, and our body and our brain seeks to heal itself. So every human being out there, their body's looking to become a restorative embodiment. The brain's looking to heal from the trauma charges. So better or for worse, the ones who have it the biggest, meaning that they really can make use of that yoga and mindfulness, are the ones with abuse and neglect. The ones with attachment, non-secure, and disorganized, they need support as well, because those are the categories of people who will have a body that wants to live, a body and a brain, because an embodied brain wants to, quote-unquote, it's not that it wants to, it only knows the default mode network of people that come from non-secure attachment in their first year of life or disorganized. The body knows fear when secure attachment comes because they didn't get it. So their body seeks self-soothing mechanisms, and that longing, that loneliness at that heart, it's because it's the infant of your 1-year-old that keeps on remembering those first 12 months of your life where there was an emotional body shutdown. But see, the beauty of the updated sciences is they explain, so all the people I learned from, you are healable and you're not broken. And when I see online a groupie, a person who's creating a group out of, oh, they're criticizing the avoidant attachment, I'm going to go create a group because we need to be a superpower now. Okay, teenagers, really? Really? Because that's really not the way you want to go about. You're not motivating yourself to get out of what is not your mammalian heritage. Hey, but if you want to stay in the human suffering love, dysfunctional nervous system, be in your fight response because you are deciding that that's easier, well, of course it is. You don't want to do the emotional lifting because that requires you. In fact, you think journaling is stupid, and so is mindfulness, because though maybe they didn't explain to you what it does. Or maybe they did and you still don't want to do it. And this is where it's very much, I was raised in a household, again, with a mother who taught me how to be moderate in all things, eating, sleeping, everything that is for my well-being. People don't understand that a child needs to be told things. And here's where, thank you, Patrick Tian, what they do is this, which is bullshit, and I see it, and it's like, fuck that shit, seriously. You have no common sense. And he scratches it out and he says, I'm personally attacking you for your normal developmental stage because I expect you to be a fully developed adult without my help, guidance, or love. I am failing you. So what parents that I've heard these things, like, dude, if I'm 1 and 2 and 3, what the fuck? Seriously, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, now, even if I'm a teenager, you telling me, no, don't you have any common sense? Now, granted, if you're a differentiated self like me, you don't give a shit if somebody says you have no common sense. That's because my 0-1-year-old and 3-year-old didn't disengage from being silly. So when you're talking to me, your words mean nothing. It doesn't matter what kind of figure you are. And that's the beauty of a self-empowered ego here. It's a 3-year-old. I have no shame, but I definitely am a person who knows I'm not superior or inferior. But don't talk to me in a way that I will disagree. As a 3-year-old, I shared that with my grandfather. He's erroneously calling me a different name, and you know, my mother when she's coming to spank me. So determined, like Robert M. Sapolsky. And you all get to hear how amazing it is to have what is called confidence in your heart as a 3-year-old. It's not because you're right, that's the whole point. All the only people who need to be right are the same people who are still trying to get their herd members to say, let me clap at you, let me approve of you. Yeah, no, I don't need your approval. You're just another human being like I am, so I'm not really sure why I would want your approval in the first place, and I'm not sure about what you're telling me. I'm gonna go double check that stuff. That's called discernment, even as a kid. And as a kid, I'd be like, huh, let me sit quietly and think. And I like to think, because that way I didn't have anybody while I'm contemplating, especially when there's limited people in their brains, because see, I don't like wasting my time. And what I've noticed is people who are not intellectually expanding, well, they don't have much to contribute except for the same gender stereotypes. And, but Maria, humans are evil. I'm thinking you're human. I don't see evil. I see a person making really bad decisions right now. And I don't know why you want to punch me in the face, because I'm not saying anything untrue. I think I'm saying something right here. I think I'm being a person with common sense, don't you? But then again, you're all teenagers. So yeah, you're going to get caught if you smoke in the bathroom. I'm not jinxing that. Okay. The minute that you maintain a differentiated self, or you get back, here's your inner child, my lovely listeners, but it's not because I'm right. Nope. It's just that some of us care about living life, and we know that our body is, let me eat well, let me sleep well. It's common sense as you get older. I learned it thanks to being a child who got basically, for example, junk food. Yeah, every time we would go through all of it, my mother would be like, okay, that's why I don't buy it, because you always go through, and she wouldn't. She would then commit to not buying junk food for like a whole month. I will never forget. And every time she did it, we still, when she would get it, there we go, we would eat it all up, and she would do the same thing. And that is how I learned, no, my body learned, my body doesn't do well with crappy food, because your body, FYI, is also something that will be something you're habitually going to be aware of, but also restorative embodiment. So again, remember, please, that there's a journey. The way that your mind can be supported with mindfulness is that the focused attention, focused awareness, and the kind intention helps to grow the corpus callosum, which connects the left and right mode of your brain. And that's the chit-chatter of the left, and the right is where you deal with unknowns, uncertainties, meaning you can sit with things, even disparate ideas, the contradicting ones, and you're okay with that. And that is actually where neuroscientists find the self is allocated. Now, the ones who want spirituality to be the know-it-all, and they don't accept that we have also sciences, they're always competing as if sciences is in some competition with spirituality. They're the ones who treat divinity as if it's still the monotheistic God, but they don't want to use the word God, and they don't want to use monotheistic, and they don't want to say that they're still believing in an entity. So the deal is 5D mystic. It's an energetic sphere. Obviously, here's where our self is a verb, FYI. So I am presence, me, your host, consistently. I'm consciously expanding. I feel always more and more of who I am. In fact, It was once I moved into the Enlightenment Soul age group and my body was used to completely just being in this, I'm thinking the restorative embodiment. I was like, wow, I'm back home with myself. Oh, this feels really nice. And I remember because I just felt like I was finally in my skin. This is how it felt to me. And it was more like I am back home to what I know is my truth. Okay, so the part about what people don't understand when they are on a journey of uncovering anything related to mysticism or trauma, if they don't have an inner child in the forefront, and that's what I've noticed, is people use words, but they don't actually go and look into it. So intellectually, they're not curious. They're the same teenagers are just using words because they want to use a word because it's a fancy thing. And, you know, I'm very happy to be here as a voice of what self-empowerment actually is. And as a woman, I'm only going to be able to do the whole I'm a woman because you know how people with the gender stuff. So that's fine with me. But I know that there are self-empowered men. Any person who is even they self-empowered is going to say, I have an inner child. I'm going to do emotional lifting. I'm going to get myself to restorative embodiment because all the sciences is pointing. The good sciences, they have some little areas where they still are, you know, not completely on point, if you will, together. But that's normal for academics. That's why they are researching. Stephen Porges still doing his research with the polyvagal theory. Daniel Siegel continues to work with his own. And then the only people who are not okay with compassion and goodness and kindness are the assholes, quote unquote, that don't have bilateral integration and they are not educating and they're using trending sentences. They're the 7 of 14 charming. They're grandiose, narcissistic most likely, and their 3-year-old is nowhere to be found. And they're just convinced that the way that they're bringing you something is the right way. Can you not notice? I can notice when somebody's convinced that they know everything. This is what I'm saying. I don't know everything. No, I'm married to Shiva, but I know some things. And I know how you can get soft and stay true to yourself versus what those people, they look like pieces of rock. They feel like, excuse me. So you see a 7 of 14 charming, you're going to notice it. If you're intuitive like me, if you're intuitive in the absence of judgment, you know, they got great information, don't get me wrong. Any subject matter expert can twist something and give me something amazing for me to explore. The minute they're limiting your consciousness, which is mine, I know it because I'm infinite in the way of knowing how to look at something because I'm hearing and then I'm going to say, wait, here's some inconsistencies. Wait, here's some exaggeration. Here's some, and it's not, again, to break it down, it's to have the big picture of what you're giving me. And the minute that you tell me something is not possible, you're limited. Anytime a person gives me a stop, that's your stop. So I'm going to say, okay, this is as much as you know, which tells me that you don't know that. Okay. And contemplation, by the way, for anybody who's using a discerning in their own, an authoritative brain of their own. So if you're your own ruler, you are not listening to people in a way of you're telling me a truth. That's a 3-year-old, which is why people will say you're stubborn, you're closed-minded, because they will perceive immediately that you are listening to them, yes, but you're not budging. They want you to budge because their nervous system is trying to prove their worth. This is what a teenager, I call them teenager, adaptive child is a person looking for their herd to approve of them. I ain't approving of you. I'm not taking your side. I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe I don't know. It depends. I go based on my gut. And that's when people say you're stupid. I'm like, yep, you know what? I can be stupid. I'm okay with that. My gut always leads me where I want to go. So, you know, since you don't live in this body, I'm going to say, sure, peace out. No, I'm going to listen. I'm going to wait. Then I'm going to leave and I'm going to enjoy myself. And if you did add value, meaning you added something that got me to think something, then great. I'm open always personally. But the part is there's a lot of gossip just in general. And when I see people who complain about gossipers, there's another set of teenagers. You think you don't do it when you're projecting a stone, you're casting a stone. I hate gossipers. Why do they use all their time? Well, some people want to use their time. Why are you all over that one? What's your energy about? You know, so we all can come in and chime and give opinions. This is the part. The ones that make it enjoyable are the ones who are sharing food for thought. which some people say the same. It's the energy behind it. It's the way your brain's working. If you are present, that's when I know you're there to have fun, because you're going to be curious, open, accepting, and loving. When you are not present and you're in your past and you're a child version of yourself, because that's what's going to happen, you're going to be your 0-1-year-old, attached, panicky, your 3-7, shame, submissive, the freeze of all ages, flight 11-12, and fight 14-15-16. You're going to have a sympathetic nervous system with your little fight response attitude. An adaptive child is not there for a conversation. They want to say their piece. That's a 3-year-old who doesn't know how to share the floor with a 16-year-old who thinks they know everything. And the minute they begin opening their mouth is the minute you're going to know if you got a curious person or a shut out human being who's just wanting to, you know, say something. And you let them say something and there you go. The emotionally mature inner child human being is not trying to compete with you. When I was a teenager and had all these lovely little conversations, I learned how I would not be using my time. When I went to academia, my bachelor's and master's, I still love my academic years. And what I love even more is moving out of it completely once I began writing the Inner Growth Mindset book and allowing myself to share with you all what life is versus doing something which is very much needed for those who are building their academic research and, you know, hypotheses and theories and da-da-da-da. But the thing of what qualitative versus quantitative is, okay? So I'm from humanities, social sciences. I have a master's in international relations and diplomacy. To me, I know that school served to give me the basis of how to use my brain in a way that can contemplate and move beyond. What I then realized is people don't emotionally mature, so they're not valid candidates. No person to me here is going to be valid if they don't know how to use their mind in equanimity. And that's what I've noticed. A lot of people don't. Because if you don't know how to get out of your dysregulated nervous system, your fight response, you don't know how to use your brain yet. Oh, I ain't going to make it look pretty. The Zen master with laundry, obviously his body is weighed down by his own 3-year-old or 1-year-old. He didn't do enough of repairing ruptures when his heart got broken. He just has scars or something like that. So this is how I can break down to you what it is to be able and work with your heart, because it's not a dying body when you were allowed to be a child. It's, oh, I got emotions. Oh, yes, I did also get consistently, reminded of how differences don't mean anybody's better or worse, that everybody's different. So by that being reminded and repeated over and over and over again, I'm not looking to be perfect. I didn't know perfection even existed, but you better bet people think I'm perfect sometimes. When they've yelled it to my face, I'm like, no, I'm not perfect for anyone, but I am perfect for myself. So, I mean, obviously, if you're going to ask me, I love myself just the way I am. You're going to say that's cocky. Well, I'm going to say I have healthy self-worth, but you can say whatever the fuck you want because I don't really care. So, again, herd, beautiful herd, when they're projecting their own insecurities, the ones of us who have healthy self-worth, we're not going to flinch and we're not going to engage because I don't prove that I know I'm worthy, because I know that confidence triggers teenager attitudes. I learned that as a teenager. Everybody lied. They didn't know how to tell me anything to my face. Backstabbers. They didn't have emotional, mental no balls, but I was told they were immature. And then I grew up and now I got the trauma experts who tell me all about how they don't have their emotional child in the forefront. Oh, there you go. So I feel bad for a lot of people. Oh, yeah. But then again, they do choose how to treat unkindly another human being and not ever once say, you know what? Was I insensitive to the degree and extent of ignoring completely human being and also, you know, like just disrespecting, quote, this is amazing to me, because you will notice how as soon as somebody disrespects them, meaning they break their heart, they do something that they're like, you know, but they should know better. I'm in love with them. I'm this, I'm that. The minute that it harms their own inner child, they're all over that. But this is also explainable. It's called the body of yours with your emotions rule you. Okay, so here's what a smart human being will know when somebody's reactive. They're reactive. You don't need to be a genius to know if you're stressed, you don't mean what you're saying. But what a person who's smart also knows is you will have the free will choice to come back around and talk to me like a grown-up about your behavior. Maladaptive child behavior is a person who has dysfunction, dysregulation. There's a lot of different types of categories. Any person who's treated decently by another human being will be given a choice point to then be a person who looks themselves in the mirror. In that moment, they can learn to move out of their shame cycle and guilt cycle and to actually have the balls to face another human. This is very challenging. Apparently, this is so challenging for people. That's why we got, you know, famous people with imposter syndrome. There's this amazing lady. She is a physicist. I forget. One of the ladies from the universe, cosmos that I watch. And she has imposter syndrome. And I'm like, why is she still with imposter syndrome? And then I see people that are please appeasers. And again, I'm like, why are they still here? There's all this great information. Oh, wait, are they doing good trauma? Are they trying to move out of this? Or are they using now the pathology and just labeling themselves that? So they don't understand the mechanism of working with your nervous system, which instead to me is very straightforward. It's like a workout. Like, I don't do workout. I'm going to want to get back into working out because your muscles need to be used and I don't use them enough. Same thing goes with your ventral vagal nervous system and your embodied brain. So for one, people who have childhood developmental trauma, they don't choose to have a right mode of the brain that's underdeveloped. Every area that is underdeveloped and compromised from childhood developmental trauma is worked on, meaning improved. This has been shown in studies from recent ones. I don't know how many. This is Daniel Siegel who shares it with me, but it shows improvement, mindfulness, and the yoga that people think brings demons out of you. No demons. You got trauma charges. All idiotic human beings who are extreme religious would get informed on sciences, but excuse me, no, they don't even want to call themselves flat earthers. Okay, so 4D mystics, they are equally uneducated, equally uninterested. Humans suck. I want to return back home to nature. I want another vessel. I don't want the human vessel. The human vessel is heavy. Okay, so from these near-death experiences, all of them talked about the human vessel being heavy. And it's not heavy if you have a whole inner child. Here you go. I raise my hand. I love it. It's not a race, but I'm going to share with you. It's not a special gift. No, no. I just got lucky. That's all that happened here. The luck. L-U-C-K. Nope. No special gifts. But mysticism is awesome. And here's where when you navigate the planes of the downloads and just everything, it's just, let's get to that in a minute. Hold on. I want to read. Okay, so this is from Greg Braden's book, Awakening to Zero Point. I'm 51, the timing of Jesus's message, but I just want to read one part of it, not all. And this is where, first of all, through his living example and teachings, Christ Jesus provided a reference point for every individual as a reminder of the possibilities of expression within a given lifetime. His gift was a message of hope, remembrance, and empowering love. He was welcomed with mistrust, disbelief, fear, and non-acceptance. And then Greg goes on to share how, in addition to his message being misunderstood during his lifetime today, the interpretations of Christ's teachings remain a source of debate and controversy, and that this is especially true for those relying upon modern interpretations of the ancient biblical texts. Acknowledged by historians and scholars alike, our modern versions of biblical texts are non-sequential and incomplete representations of a full and rich body of knowledge, recorded in some cases hundreds of years after the actual events themselves. Okay, so long story short, the part about Jesus's message being welcomed with mistrust, disbelief, fear, and non-acceptance. When we look at the sciences, so what they're sharing about mindfulness, meditation, consciousness, I will say we have the same. When we talk about a lot of topics, people have mistrust. But what you'll notice is people who are empowered with their brains, so that means that they care about what they're assimilating. It's because here's where our lovely spirituality, it is when you're living a life beyond the meaning of the solo self. Okay, so when you don't forget where you come from, which means you're a human body, when I see spiritual bypassers, they all are talking about themselves as a piece of consciousness and wanting to leave their human body. And you know what misanthropy is? Well, there you go, misanthropy. I was a teenager when people started crapping. Like, you're human, you do know you're crapping on yourself. No, I'm not. I'm just crapping on other people. Well, I don't know about that, because I'm going to say that you're crapping on yourself. And that's a mirror to me to see what you're thinking about yourself inside. Misanthropy, hatred, dislike, or distrust of humankind. Jesus walked a path as a restorative embodiment. Quote unquote, angry Buddhist. Buddha too. It's called restorative embodiment, integration of the brain. I love and thank Daniel Siegel, Bessel van der Kolk, Stephen Porges, Janina Fisher, all the academic researchers within the humanities, mental health, excuse me, not humanities, because humanities, social sciences is not the group of neuroscience, neurobiology, okay? And I don't even know half of the words. That's why I'm pseudoscience lady. But I'm okay with it because I know who's doing quantitative data. If I wanted to be an asshole teenager, which I'm not because I don't give a shit about proving points, it's because I'm a human. The minute people would say humans suck, I'm like, no, they don't. I'm a human. They don't know what's going on in their body. Why are you judging a book by its cover? I learned that I was using good and bad and casting stones. That was my only true moment of how dare you, shame inside my heart, because of knowing the words, thank you, Jesus and God, and you know, the whole don't cast a stone. So we are all flawed and imperfect. And what makes me laugh is when I see the spiritual bypassers come around and say, well, no, you're not imperfect or flawed if you don't compare yourself to others. That's a child who doesn't understand what a grown-up child just said. Okay, so a grown-up child would be me, who is saying to you, in your subjective experience, let's take the lovely person who thinks yoga brings demons out of you. Let's take any human being who thinks tarot cards is the devil's work. Let's take the theologians who are writing papers about Reiki masters and how Reiki, which is the universal love energy, is not the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't follow biblical teaching scripture with their left mode. Like when I see any other human being who's interested only in giving the, like, interest, but again, you know, before we keep moving, I'm the Enlightenment Soul Age Group, okay? So let me give you the gist of those other soul age groups. Infant is all about being alive. That's what they're focusing on. The baby soul age group is about belonging, so people who want to belong to group. The young, that's about independence, okay? So they're going to learn to be personally independent or something like that, or, you know, I'm going to think, I need to go find the actual article, which is on lonerwolf.com. Mature interpersonal harmony. So this is about you finding inner harmony within yourself and within your relationships. Old is spiritual fulfillment. So these are all people who are going to go, you know, to the wherever it is and just stay spiritual. And then we got the elders, who are the enlightened, and from spirituality to enlightenment. So enlightened people who are interested in more than the solo self are going to be talking about all topics. And they love to exchange ideas. They're not going to dive into one topic. In fact, the one topic this reminds me of, let me see if I can find it, is when you are in the monkey brain, that's when you are ruminating, for one. And then there's other. This is the land of Maya, I believe is how they call it. So the illusion. And this was from one of my courses, if I can find it. So much material, it's amazing what you'll learn. This one that I will find, hopefully, is from a lady who has workshops to support people who have addictions. And hopefully, I can take that course at some point. But in the meantime, I want to find... So, I can't find my notes because I have way too many courses all next to the other. But what I do remember from the top of my head is the monkey brain is the rumination. Then we got the butterfly brain. That's the person who, like, keeps on getting distracted with things. Then we got the one focus. So the one focus are the ones who break everything down, like what I was talking about. So let's say they're an expert in esotericism, or they're an expert in some scripture, something. You're going to notice they know everything about that one topic, but only that one topic. And they dissect it, though, in to the extent of making it into small pieces, which is the opposite of what can help you to see the bigger picture. So, for example, Daniel Siegel, he uses a, I forget the word, but he explains what interpersonal neurobiology is. And it's not a subject matter. It brings together different subject matters. And the way he tells what this consilience. So consilience approach is when you discover separate pursuits and you combine them. And so interpersonal neurobiology, for example, it comprises mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, psychology, sociology, anthropology. And consilience is the way that this approach is defined. So see, he's a pure academic. I'm not that anymore, and I don't want to be that, which is why I'm okay with the, I will fuck up data and I will confuse it, but I know the gist of things. And the gist of things is good enough for a person who's curious, because they're going to go and do their own research about it. And I already know that if I'm wrong about something, a curious person's going to say, hey, I found some helpful information about what you were talking about. Let me add food for thought and let me share with you da 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 da. A person who's not in the enlightened type mindset, is how I'm going to put it, they're going to come back around because they want to tell you you're wrong. So when I see neuroscientists, for example, saying, my colleagues, they need to listen to the spirituality people. We don't have a self. There's no self. You can't find online magazines that are publishing with a catchy title. This is why I found it somewhere. It's like, oh, neuroscience proves there's no self. And I'm like, no, I know of there being the self because I just watched Patrick McNamara, neuroscientist, describe to this person who was interviewing them all about the brain and where they found that the self is allocated, which is in the right mode of the brain. And I'm like, yep, that sounds pretty accurate, because I also learned about how the right mode of our brain deals with the unknown uncertainty. It is what is going to allow separate, disparate, contradicting ideas to sit there all by themselves, because you deal with the unknown. That's Shiva land, by the way, darkness, nothingness. And so when your inner child, which is your 0-1-year-old, and it's yours, okay, so let me explain something. When you explore the depths of the emotional plane of you, it involves our secondary consciousness as human beings. That means that you would know about, I don't like that I will die, and that I don't know what the meaning of life is. There's a common sense right here, mental and emotional. It's called human dilemma by the existential psychologist. I call it the human condition because I'm comfortable with emotions. So, and I found what I was looking for, the mind states that are in the Maya land. So the illusion land, the monkey, donkey, butterfly mind. So monkey is the disturbed mind. The dull mind, they call it donkey. The scattered, distracted mind is the butterfly. The one focused, one point is what I was saying, when somebody's just breaking everything down and they're just going to talk like they know everything, but they're using one angle alone, and their way of diving into it is just such a small, it's like a small dagger chipping away at ice or stone, but it's ice, because it's fragile and cold. And eventually, you know, they get what they want from it. They get a shaved ice cone or whatever, but it's the energy. And we got illumined with its own light, which is where we got spiritual bypassers. So when I see people talking about technology and sciences taking away our divinity, and I'm sad to say that I'm seeing some people that I respect, well, I respect all people, but that I valued and I was hopeful that they'd continue expanding their consciousness. But here's where that spiritual fulfillment, the old soul age group. So I consistently try to keep my brain, me, Maria, in check, to remember you're in the enlightenment soul age group. When you're looking out there into the world, there are people that are going to support the 4D, the 3D, and any other soul age group. But it feels, in my intellectually expanding brain, sad to see that people who have a lot that could keep moving forward, they could keep expanding, to see them stop and then create a message that is disruptive, meaning that doesn't bring humanity together. That brings us to a place that is ancient at that point. If you disregard that we move forward, and it's thanks to sciences and technology that one day people can get off the planet, you are the short-sighted one and you're not thinking of the future children. I am. I'm not going to be here maybe, but then again, I will. Me, Maria, from what I know as a mystic. And I know why. And we were going to talk a little bit about that as we close on out, because see, this is the beauty of not becoming a person who identifies with the stories, but that knows that we're getting the opportunity to do something which is, again, not provable. Imagination land, that's what it is. It's not something you can prove, but it's something that is amazing to be able and talk about. Okay, and before we move forward. So one, most addictive behaviors are maladaptive responses to unresolved trauma. The reason people shame, blame, fault, revenge, they go fuck, drink, suppress emotions, drugs, all that, which, you know, movies make look cool. I was a teenager, I knew it wasn't cool. Again, I learned everything about immature people when I was a teenager. And seeing people grow up, I just didn't wish it ever did. So there you go. Now that I am able to share with people who want to be human. When you say, I don't want to be myself, I know is your lack of awareness of yourself. It would be common sense for you to say, why would I be shitting on myself? But that's the very spot that an adaptive child won't notice. And that's why I love that we have great educators out there who share about self-compassion, or who share about being kind, or integration of brain, or, you know, like Daniel, I'm going to have to see how he uses this, but he says, I'm not going to use the word self-compassion in this recent class that I'm taking. I'm going to say something, he says something about intra-compassion, because this, he has a whole way. I was like, okay, that's going to be interesting, but it's because the self goes through transformation, and I'm assuming it's to support us to move beyond the solo self, because any person who cares about humanity will notice that people misunderstand the spirituality journey, for example, in the absence of that monotheistic God. What people notice is people go off and into a selfishness. Oh, we're one big ball of energy. I'm going to do whatever I want with you. Okay. And this is why we have new voices out there, the empowering spirituality voices. In addition to Sadhguru, I love having him there. He is somebody who's always talking in a way that makes me think of Daniel, because everything that comes out of his mouth equals a restorative embodiment, and it can equal you becoming your expanded brain integrated. He doesn't know it because he doesn't do the psych education. And for example, when he doesn't support psych education, that's where I completely will say, no, this is not okay. But then again, he's a spirituality guru, so his role is not to be informed on the psych education. And it's our role, the ones of us who do know, to say, which is why as a 5D mystic, I have an episode, one of the late Maria HP shows with your 5D mystic, telling you how a mystic who's in the 5D plane will make sure people know about their inner well-being. I got attachment and trauma-informed on purpose because I'm already supporting you to be you. So I knew it would add to my capacity. And now it helps me to be very clear on what there is going to be the need of for somebody who doesn't have their inner child in the forefront. And it isn't me, the energy worker. Nope, no tarot, but I won't say no to you, but I won't lie to you, and I won't give you misinformation. I won't say it's okay to not do something more. No, I will say tarot, Akashic record, past life regression, Reiki, these don't heal your inner child. This supports your energy field. It supports you in a lot of different ways. Your brain and your behavior is for you to be working on again and again and again when you're interacting. So if you don't learn functional adult love language, if you don't learn to work with your mood, if you don't do the emotional lifting, you're going to be a cowardice like any other person who goes and craps on somebody who is going to therapy. Thank you, Patrick Chan. And you're going to behave in a squirrel attitude with a Cusco attitude and a pacho over here. Ain't going to be like, let me take your side. No, because you are not doing, let me pick up my emotional stuff and regulate my nervous system. You're projecting it. And you're looking for number four, to heal that trauma with bystanders that stand with you, and you like Braveheart in your fight responses with all of your inner shitty dialogue about human beings, and you would want us to take your son. No, no. You go with your flat earther group, basically. Be a traditional cult, culty cult, or ethical cult. The law will make sure that you stay in your place. continue with your fairy tales and stories. The ones of us who care, we're going to work with a good therapist to say you can be your inner child like I am. And that means you can respect, accept, and love people just the way they are. You can also learn how to have grown-up, political, religious, and all these amazing conversations when you meet intellectually interesting human beings. Not all of them are interested in this stuff. And so these addictive behaviors, let's stop making them look cool. They're not, okay? How can your own intention become stronger than your dysfunctional pattern? Well, it's called, you know, I learned about this thing called an embodied brain and that my emotions do dictate everything I do because myself has my subconscious and conscious, which is from my 0 to 8 year old. So I'm not going to do Elsa's journey. I'm going to get to the end. Notice that I have a 3 year old. My first 3 years of life are implicit memory. The rest can be explicit. But the point is, I'm in the inner critic little chit chatter brain projecting low self-esteem. Now, when people are projecting that or a story and they forget that they're human and they forget that emotions are part of the equation, they're forgetting because they don't have the self-awareness of, hey, wait a minute, I got emotions. They're ruling my attitude right now. Do I want to behave? This is the value body and heart body. It's the minute that you begin interacting with me, you're going to notice your tone because I'm going to present it to you. But as I got older, I don't present much to anyone because I don't really want to use my time with people who don't actually care to become more of their self. And that's because I got used to people saying, but humans suck, Maria. Why would I want to be myself? I don't want to be myself. Wow, okay. That tells me you don't love yourself first. And I now know that that means you don't know how to give me a shirt because you don't even have one on. And yeah, I'm not going to use any of my time with somebody who's going to say, oh, I'm at the avoidant attachment category. I'm going to stay like this. I'm going to keep on being in pain inside and just say life is hard and emotions are hard and everything's hard. I'm going to be like, okay, well, emotions are not hard over here. Life's not hard over here. Human love narrative, we are doing great. We do have a heart for human suffering love, but they continue to want to be in their survival mode. What can we say? They make a lot of different excuses. Why the default mode network only turns online when they're in pseudo-aliveness, when they're mesmerized by some, you know, and then they call the human body weighed down. And you can choose another vessel when you go in another life. Wow, okay, that's the way to, what is it called? Depersonalize, derealize. So when people disconnect, right here, 7 Ds of disconnection, detachment, separation, abandonment, fixed isolation, dehumanization, de-respect, de-objectify, disrespect, objectify. Then we got delusion, disconnected from the experiencing mask, demoralization, hopelessness, despair, domination, silencing, division, fragmentation, duality, destruction, destabilization. Yeah, and for positive. So basically the 7 Ds, this is for people in relationships, but a person will dissociate and disconnect from wanting to be a human. The human body weighs, so you'll, you know, next lifetime you'll be able to choose another body. In this lifetime, let's be the holistic healers. We all, again, holistic, great and dandy. Let's bring next to us the lovely therapy community, the good ones, they're out there. EMDR, child parts work, and somatics. So the good therapist, they know that a person's inner child needs to be reparented. That requires consistent desire for the human being that owns that body to notice their maladaptive child behavior. And then for them to say, okay, I'm going to work with my window of tolerance. So like with me and the panic attacks, I've always worked with my window of quote unquote tolerance. What I also found out is that my gut, which told me it's all about ascension, maybe, yeah, there's some freeze responses, but it's not just that. You're a person who's intuitive. You're picking up on other nervous systems. All of these things throughout the years of my courses have been confirmed to me. In fact, with Daniel Siegel in his most recent one, I understood. Now I understand my insula. And the fact is, once you have the intro, so we have 8 senses, visual, auditory, gustatory, olfactory, tactile, vestibular, proprioception, and interoception. Interoception, once that's activated, you're now giving your insula, I forget if it's the behind or whatever, he explains it, but he says it's able to grow. Like the amygdala grows for the 4D, who are in alert, 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 because they don't heal their trauma charges. They don't heal their inner child. So they continuously use neuroplasticity, the imagination agent, with the amygdala. And thus, I watched in another video of another neuroscience lady who showed what happens when your frontal lobes are squished down and what happens with the neuroplasticity and why the amygdala will grow, which is where we have the people who are quote-unquote conservatives. It's not conservatives. It's a person who is navigating in a specific way. I don't like to use words of politics this way because they're disregarding the bigger picture. And that's also because they don't look at people with the embodied brain and mind. So when I see a person with an enlarged amygdala, there's a 4D reader out there. She's gotten worse and worse year after year after year. Like, she talks about Jezebels and you name it, the wrath of God. And I'm like, wow, you know, but she's not breaking any laws and she's not doing anything different than any other human being on those platforms. But I can tell her upper the head. And that's what happened with one of my friends too. So when you learn how the brain can wire itself shut into the armored self, it's because a person's locking themselves out of their inner child. There's a lot more we could talk about, but we won't right now. So long story short, I love being a 5D mystic in the Enlightenment Soul Age Group and a functional adult woo pseudoscience lady, because that way can bring you what it's like to always be an inner child without any resentment or like, oh my gosh, something. Because you know how to be resilient. Why? Because it's my heart. It's in my chest. So anytime it breaks, guess who's here? My name's Maria. I can touch my heart and be like, hey, heart, it's cool. And then I know it's a muscle. And so any of those words, backstabbing, it's a figure of speech. Oh, and I also think about brute, right? Et tu brute. So any human being who wants to tell me that they're not a coward, yeah, if you backstab me, you obviously don't know what coward means, because that's all I'm going to say. And then when you understand how people who have trauma, they don't know how to be brave because they were, you know, poor kids. Again, I totally get it. But what I also get is the minute you backstab a human being, you will know what you've done. You can analyze it with your rational brain. And so you can know if you were a asshole. And that is the moment you can be proactive. Like my one friend, I told you the story of this friend of mine who made a really, really nasty bit of conversation. And then he makes this bet with me because he's in a bad mood because he's been disappointed by women. And he's just so bitter and resentful. And I knew he was upset, which is why, one, I don't take things personally, because as a teenager, I learned how not to. But two, I mean, again, I can get in a bad mood. I just choose not to speak when I'm in a bad mood because I don't want to say something that I will then say shit, you know. And it is because I've learned as an adolescent, few things I did learn. And I learned that I will not do anything that goes against what feels right. And it always feels right to treat a person with kindness and compassion, because I don't know what's going on in your body. And if you're stressed, I don't want to be mean. I don't have to be mean to you. You don't represent a physical threat. I don't have to be in my fight response when I'm dealing with you. This is the whole point. I can be a decent human being and I don't need to think what you're doing. I don't give a shit because, again, I don't know. For all I know, somebody's dying and you're upset and you don't want to say anything. So the part that people really don't trust human beings to have shit going down and so much more, you know. But long story short, my friend, he wins this bet. I decide to call him up because that's the part of I'm going to owe him a dollar now. But I'm also going to tell him I wasn't going to call you because what you did totally was completely not like a friend. I know you were upset, but this is, you know, really, really, you are so not nice. And, you know, he, of course, understood when we were talking. And sure, he said, yeah, I'm sorry. But the point is, during that call, he could have been aware that he's in a bad mood. And he would have been aware of it if he had cared enough about the person on the other end of the mic, right? On the other end of the phone, which he didn't, which is explainable by Stephen Porges. It's called biological rudeness. It's not a person choosing. No. The warm blanket of control is what they're having, which is why it's an adaptive child. That's the person who's making it all about themselves and who's allowing their pissy mood to taint everything and their narrative, all of it. So no, they're not going to acknowledge the feelings of the other human being, mine. They're not thinking about reciprocity. They have no sense of awareness of it. And there you go. But you know what they can, once it's presented to them, hopefully learn from it, one. And two, you know, again, it's free will. The minute that you are saying something to another person and not realizing your emotions are tainting it and you're not caring about what you're saying, well, I mean, again, it's no big deal, but those are all Cuscos and squirrels. And so, yeah, we have a bunch of them, and we'll be back with more of these episodes. In the meantime, share love, and we'll be back again. Have a great one.